Hello, my friends, and welcome back to another episode of the Modern Mastery Podcast, where we help you build yourself, build your business, and join the new 1% of individuals that are living a meaningful, free, and fulfilled life through self-development and online entrepreneurship. This is the Wednesday episode of the Modern Mastery Podcast with my good friend and business partner, Joey, aka The Cypreneur. On this segment, we answer your questions from Twitter, pick apart silly arguments we see on the internet, and other things related to optimizing your lifestyle with performance and business advice. Before we get into it, let's talk about Modern Mastery HQ. MMHQ is a tight-knit community of people that want a streamlined way to starting and growing an online business so you can monetize the things that you love learning about in your free time, create more free time for yourself, and work from anywhere in the world. Building a business is a necessary step to self-actualization. It gives you the freedom and resources, like money, to further pursue your purpose and fuel your development. That's the second part of MMHQ, is personal development. In the world of entrepreneurship, this is a must. You don't have a boss telling you everything you need to do. You need to become self-sufficient. You need to master your mind, body, and spirit. We help you do all of these things through trainings, articles, step-by-step action plans to implement the advice from those, and live calls for personalized help because your situation is unique. So if you want to steal our proven processes, strategies, and systems for becoming a sovereign individual, go to join.modernmastery.co and join today. And if you want to skip all of the do-it-yourself stuff and join an intensive six-month program that guarantees business and personal success, we have the Mastery Program as well, and you can apply to that at join.modernmastery.co/program. And links to both of those will be in the show notes. Now, last but not least, I have a few favors to ask that cost a whopping $0. If you enjoyed this podcast, subscribe or follow. It's one button click away, and it truly helps support the growth of this podcast. And then you can leave a rating letting us know what you thought. You can tag us at Modern Mastery on Twitter or at Modern Mastery HQ on Instagram, or tag Joey or I with a link to this episode and some kind words. If you do all three, send us a DM and we'll have something special for you in return. So without further ado, let's dive right into this episode of the Modern Mastery Podcast. Joey, what's up? We're live. How's it going?
I'm here. I'm still alive right now. So, you know, hanging in there.
I know. I'm surprisingly alive, too. Coughed up blood this morning, as I told you. Mm-hmm. It's been, like, few and far between. Like, the sickness I had was, I still don't know if it was COVID or not. It seems like COVID, but, like, the first, like, three, 4 days, like, yeah, I was really tired and lethargic, and now it's just like you can still hear it in like my sinuses. And the only thing, like, I feel good energetically, but like I'm still hacking up a lung in the morning to get like all the shit that's in my throat out. But then like later in the day I'm perfectly fine. It's like I'm a normal guy. But yeah, how are you feeling? I know you feel like shit, but
yeah, those listening to the audio only version can't see how red my eyes are right now, but
smoking weed.
Yeah, totally, man. Smoking that magnesium. Yeah, I thought I just had allergies last week, and then it magically turned into a sinus infection. Started having like fever and chills and all that good stuff. It's all like upper respiratory, so I doubt that it's COVID related, but yeah, it's been rough. I had to cancel all of my social plans for the weekend, so basically sat around like painting D&D figures for future sessions, watching NASCAR, watched all of Squid Game in almost one sitting, went to the gym one day late at night when nobody else was there because it's a 24-hour gym, so I still worked out, but yeah, it was rough. And then last night, I went to bed at 10:30, didn't fall asleep until like 2, and then an Amber Alert woke me up at 4:30. I don't know who Amber is or why she's alerting me, but you know.
I know. What do they want you to do? Like, get up immediately out of bed and find this person.
Yeah,
go I'm just gonna find this person right now.
I'm just gonna put my robe on and go wander the streets looking for a fucking blue Toyota to pick up or something. I don't know, man.
Yeah. Well, nice. I'm glad you're here. But
yeah.
Jeez. So sorry, guys. Bear with us. We have good content coming for you eventually. But
yeah.
Right now, trying to fucking handle this shit. So. On this episode with Joey and I, the Wednesday edition of this podcast, we're going to start, we don't know if we'll do this for every episode, probably not, but we're going to be talking about, we're going to be bringing nuance to some of the shit that we see on Twitter. And we were going to talk about Squid Game today, but Joey told me that he doesn't know if he's ready to go in on that yet. So I'm guessing Joey's going to get very passionate next week when we talk about Squid Game, because I believe we both binge watched it when we were sick. And I don't know. It's just stupid seeing what some people are posting on Twitter where it's like, oh, Squid Game, never heard of it. Never going to watch it. And it's like, okay, I watched it and I'm not a like government slave now because of all the bad programming.
Sure?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know, man. Like
I mean, how will we know?
You're right. Yeah. Shit. Yeah. Maybe we need to get a third party in on this.
Okay. Yeah, we'll dive into that next week, but we have a spicy topic for today as well, I believe.
Yes. Today's topic, it's been going around some, people are just saying it for engagement. There's some truth. We want to talk about the different angles of this and the different truths there are to this. But making money and how it relates to your follower count, right? Because it seems to be a very engageable topic on Twitter, and that's why people write about it. But the argument usually is there are people with 50 followers that are pulling in hundreds of thousands of dollars per month, and there are people with hundreds of thousands of followers that are pulling in very little each month in terms of money. And now this is true, and there's a lot to dig into here, but my main problem with this statement is that I have a lot of followers and I make decent money because I understand how to monetize my audience by providing value, by providing products and services that they want, right? Now, the people that have hundreds of thousands or even millions of followers, especially on Instagram, that are monetizing their account mainly by like promotions, so like story shout outs and other things that other people are paying them for, and possibly even like an Instagram growth guide or a Twitter growth guide. Like, you can make okay money doing that, and a lot of people are happy doing that. Like, they don't need to make hundreds of thousands of dollars per month to actually be content with where they're at and still build something on the side. But what people are talking about here is like, it just doesn't register with me. Like, I don't understand exactly what they're talking about, because the people that they're talking about with 50 followers, they're either in the DMs and they understand client acquisition and they're getting clients through there, building their business through there, or they have a business outside of social media that they're pulling in a lot of money from. And it's like, of course they don't, like, of course they're not making money off of their following there. So, one, I don't understand that. Two completely different ball games. And the problem with people that have a lot of followers is they don't understand direct response marketing and sales. They usually have the brand down and they post a specific type of content, but they're either unaware that they can monetize their audience more, and that just creates room for a product. So, like, rather than complaining about, or not complaining about it, but rather than posting about it, why don't you create a solution for it and have them like capitalize off of that problem? That's a problem, right? And if you understand marketing, sales, client acquisition, and you offer to consult them, then you can make a lot of money off of that. But the thing with this is if they started to understand direct response marketing and sales and offer creation for their audience and understood how to actually launch and promote a product, then they'd probably make a fuck ton of money, right? So the potential is there. And in my humble opinion, I think having an audience is 10 times better than not having an audience, because one, it's a traffic source that you have at your fingertips. Two, it's connections. Like, it's just invaluable to have an audience that you can refer to for almost anything, not just like getting paid for it. And it's digital real estate. It's free real estate, because you get so much more opportunity opens when you have an audience. You can start doing really whatever you want if you have the content strategy down. And my main content strategy is the social matrix, which is like 80% growth content. So almost what everyone's posting, but then you post it from your unique perspective and the stories you can tell with it and the experiences you've had with that specific concept in an engageable way that will help you grow. But then there's the 10% authenticity, which is like documenting what you're doing, maybe posting like videos of you in the gym, showing what you're about, maybe posting a video, maybe starting a podcast. I started this for the authenticity side of things just because people can pick up on my vibe much better from video and audio than they can from Twitter, where it's much more serious and I have a much more serious and calm demeanor, which I still do in real life. But then the other 10% is the authority aspect of things. So giving actionable advice on things that you are an expert in. And this is where things get hairy, because it really depends on what kind of brand you're building, right? If you're building a brand solely to fuel your freelancing business, then you're going to talk a lot more about authority stuff and you're going to be teaching people what you are an expert in. And if you're building a more of like a brand like myself with Modern Mastery, I'm talking about everything under the sun, literally everything under the sun. We're talking about everything under the sun, like in terms of self-improvement, entrepreneurship, online business, all of this stuff that we've done in our lives. And we've talked about this before in previous podcasts on personal branding, but it's just super powerful. Like I'm rambling on a bit and I'll let Joey take over for a second, but my main view of it is building an audience is fucking great. And you just need to learn marketing, sales, and product creation and how to actually launch that product. And that's why I created MMHQ, is because I saw a problem there. And that's a lot of what I personally talk about in MMHQ. I post all of the marketing, sales, audience monetization tools, and all of this other stuff that help you create a business out of pursuing your interests, passions, and the things you like to talk about through a personal brand, right? Or freelancing or coaching or whatever it is. And Joey talks about the personal development, performance, and those kind of things, because that's extremely important when you are working for yourself. You have to manage yourself. You don't have a boss managing you, telling you what to do, giving you literally a product to sell, all this other stuff. You have to do it yourself, and you have to self-educate and understand what it is that you are trying to accomplish.
Yeah, so I have two things that I was thinking of while you were saying that. One, I've noticed over the past several months, Twitter especially is becoming more tribal, but also more positiony. There's a lot of counterculture. So whatever the popular thing to do is, which is something that we'll talk about in next episode as well, but whatever the popular thing to do or methodology or whatever, there are people who want to go against that, because it's really just a positioning thing. It's a marketing thing in itself, where, oh, I have this different method, so my method's better and you should buy my product or whatever, follow me and listen to my guru advice. I think oftentimes it means well, and I think that in this particular topic, it's like some of the advice actually is good and it means well, and we can dissect it a bit further later on this episode, of course, but I think it means well, but unfortunately, us gurus often fall into the trap of it being a binary black and white thing where it's like this way good, this way bad, when there's a lot more nuance to it. And unfortunately, when you're talking about a platform whose content is 280 characters or less, nuance often completely goes out the window. So it's just one way or another. And similar thing in marketing, I guess, as well. But it's kind of missing the mark because it's like, you know, yeah, you should write content that is valuable and, you know, shows your expertise and your authority and your knowledge and all that good stuff. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't ever write something for engagement or something like to make people feel good or entertain them or whatever. You know, you can have both. It's kind of like a balanced diet or whatever. That's a really bad metaphor. But it's like you need both, because if you have all of one, that's probably not going to work out too well for you. And the other point that I was thinking about, you know, when you were talking about people who have other stuff going on outside of Twitter, who are people who, you know, they know how to leverage the DMs and networking and stuff like that. Like, they can make a lot of money without a lot of followers. Like, yeah, that makes sense. But I feel like it kind of sets up the wrong expectations for people who are new to online business. Like, somebody who's brand new to social media and online business and creating a following, they're going to struggle without like building up an audience and building up community, because if they don't have any results that they can talk about or any authority that they can talk about, and they don't have a following or connections that they know of, it's going to be really hard for them to actually start earning an income without any sizable audience.
Right. And that's the thing, because what most people are taught right now, and I mean, I teach it too, for those that have a low follower account or just like aren't trying to build an audience, but are trying to sell like a freelance offer or a coaching offer, is you have to go, you're going to sell the most in the DMs, right? It's like your main way of client acquisition is through cold email, cold DMs, or something of that sort, where you're getting in front of a very specific person's face with a very specific offer. And that's awesome. You can make a lot of money doing that. You can make more than enough money doing that. But the value in building an audience, especially over time and along with this, is that one, this is very platform dependent as well, because you have to niche down and you have to go to a platform where you're going to find the people that can use your offer the most. But the value in building an audience is that you can start building out a funnel. So like a very basic funnel would be a lead magnet, a low ticket product, and then a high ticket service on the back end. And then at that point, once your audience gets big enough and you're fueling that that funnel, then clients come to you and you can stop doing the whole like cold outreach thing, which I saw massive value in that just because I didn't like cold outreach. And I don't think a lot of people like cold outreach. And of course you can outsource it, but I am personally here. We could go into this as well on another episode, is the whole like one man business versus like building an agency style business or something with a lot of employees. And like you can, that's really dependent on you. And I chose the route that would make it easier on me as a one man business, because I just don't have any desire to build some crazy corporation with a bunch of employees. I have had to outsource some stuff. Like I've had to bring Joey on here because he brings a lot of value to Modern Mastery, but it's also lessening my workload so I can focus on other things that I enjoy focusing on and where I can bring the most value there. And I have someone like doing my video editing, and it's a very small team. My philosophy on all of this is, and it's the message behind Modern Mastery, is to build a business that allows you to live the lifestyle you want, right? That's very difficult to do with a 9-to-5 job. You can find great 9-to-5 jobs that give you the autonomy you need, but I'm all about creating that autonomy for myself and making the amount of money that allows me to do that. So when I got tired of cold outreach and other things and started on Twitter and started seeing the value in building an audience there, it everything fell into place next. It's like, okay, I've got this down, so I don't have to do the cold outreach anymore, which took up a lot of my time. And then I'm building products so I can have another stream of income and get qualified leads for my higher ticket services, et cetera, et cetera. So the message behind all of this, and this may be like a blanket for almost everything we talk about, is understand your goals specifically, your specific goals, not what other people tell you your goals should be. Understand your goals and do what you have to do to achieve those goals. And then you can come back and create bigger goals, and then that will require you to do something else to actually hit those goals. But for most people, the goal is to make 5 to 10K a month so they're comfortable and they've replaced their income, and then just go from there. Like, a lot of people would be happy just doing that, and you can debate on like building generational wealth and all of this other virtuous things to do and talk about it on Twitter so you can ruin the minds of other people and not have them think for themselves. But that's really it, is you have to disconnect and you have to think for yourself, and you have to know what your goals as a person are at this very point in time, and then you have to figure out what the best path to get there is. And half the time, it's not going to be like trying to build this insane company with a bunch of employees. Like, that's the beauty in this, like the internet right now, is that there's so much opportunity for a one-man business or a very small team behind a one-man business, right? That's my philosophy on all of this. And whenever I get lost, that's what I have to come back to, because I just don't have any desire to build something crazy. It's like, I want my life to give me the autonomy. I want to wake up when I want to wake up. I want to be able to do my morning routine and take it somewhat slow in the morning before I start working. I want to work on something that I actually enjoy and outsource the rest to my small team. And then after that, it's like, I just want to not have too much work, and I want to do the things that fuel my development. I love reading spiritual stuff. I love reading self-development stuff, and whatever. I just want to be able to pursue what I want to pursue, go to the gym, have a great fucking gym session, afford the food that's going to help me hit my goals, et cetera, et cetera. Like, it's, people seem to be building a business just to build a business while they have that momentum and they're making a lot of progress. But then when it's time to actually go into a low intensity period, which is bound to happen, it's just cyclical, it's how humans operate in a sense, burnout, etc. But that's it. Is like, you may not be vibing with what I'm saying right now, in that like you want to build more than a one man business, but at the moment, at this very point in my life, I want to build a one man business, and it is, there's diminishing returns if I take my focus off of that.
I think humans are prone to overcomplicating things. And the problem is that there are resources everywhere, all over the internet, all over Twitter. There are tons of gurus in every different field imaginable who put out information. And especially when you're a beginner, it can be difficult to figure out who to listen to. Now, as I was saying a little bit ago, you know, there's nuance to it. There's different strategies that work. There's different things that work for different people. Same for performance and nutrition as well, of course. But the problem is, if you listen to everybody, if you take directions from everyone, you're going to get lost. Like, you're going to get overwhelmed. You're going to overcomplicate things, and then you're going to get stuck in the mud. And there is nothing more frustrating than being stuck and having too much information. Because then your head gets clouded, right? And it can be hard to figure out what to do. So, like Dan was saying a minute ago, you really need to get clear as possible on your own goals, and then figure out what's going to help you get a step closer to achieving those goals, because the other stuff doesn't really matter too much.
Mm. Yeah, it's a dilemma, like, because the weird thing about this, it's kind of cool in MMHQ or the mastery program. Like, we get to see people's minds, like the problems that they're creating. And I'm sitting here thinking, like, you're going to solve this problem in like a month on your own. And I can give you some direction to like help you get there faster, help you get to that burst of clarity faster. But really, everything with this whole social media stuff, it's so variable and you pivot a lot, or some people pivot a lot if you're not just focused on bringing in the most customers, which isn't a bad thing. But it's like, I want my entire life to revolve around this, or I want this to revolve around my life, if that makes sense. So the content I create, like, yes, it may not be the most optimal thing for pulling in $600,000 a month or whatever people are talking about nowadays, but it is, like, it makes me excited to actually write content. Like, I want to stress my brain and teach the things that I've been learning and the experiences I've had, et cetera, et cetera. Like, it's just a fun way to go. And my money or my income is well above average. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm making decent money from all of this. We both are. And it's like, I don't really need much more. I just need it to stay sustainable, which is possible. That's what building an audience makes it do. It makes doing what you want sustainable if you stay on top of promotions and understand marketing and, like, you test different angles and all of this other shit. But yeah, there's a lot that goes into it. And really, if you just join MMHQ and like read all of the articles, you're going to have everything you need to make this sustainable, but then you're going to encounter problems along the way, mostly mental problems, where you're building the audience, you're trying to land clients, et cetera, and on the span of like 3 days, it's like, oh, I've sent a bunch of DMs and I've written a bunch of content, but I don't have any clients yet, and I am not growing very fast. And it's like, it's a part of the game. It's really a part of the game. And the people that have made it out of that and just stuck with it and had fun with it, they'll be the first to tell you that, like, yes, you haven't done this for long enough to understand that, like, it comes with time and practice and iteration. Like, just doing, you're going to learn so much more by just doing things and hitting your head against the wall and sticking with that and having your subconscious, like, birth the answer that you need. That's one cool thing that I learned from, I think it's Ogilvy, where in his case, it's writing copy, but like writing 10 headlines and then just not using any of those headlines and just going to bed, sleeping on it, going about your day. And then since your brain has already put in some of that work and it's soaked up so much throughout your entire life, like, the idea just comes to you. Like, a lot of people say this in the shower, like, they get the best ideas in the shower. And it's like, you're probably not going to find the answer to most things by, like, trying to think through them. You're going to find the answer by doing your best right now, writing the best content you can right now, trying to land the best clients you can right now, and then given time and practice and understanding what isn't working and getting Joey's dying and getting the, like, putting the reps in, and then your mind will birth the answer, right? Because I've read so much business shit. I've read so much business shit. And the thing that's attributed to my progress the most is just staying consistent, pursuing my interests and how they align with, like, building an audience and making money and all of this other stuff. That's my main tip, is just fucking do it. Just do it. And then after that, the answer will come to you. And if you want join MMHQ so we can talk you through problems as they come up, mostly mental problems. And Joey will help you out with that.
Yeah, I mean, as we were talking about recently, most business problems are performance problems or really mindset problems. You know, we had a had the Stallbuster call with MMHQ a couple hours ago, and we were talking through some stuff that on its surface seemed like a business issue, but really it was more of a mindset thing. So unfortunately, we often get in our own way, overcomplicate things, as I was talking about a bit ago, but you made a good point about, you know, figuring out your own goals and what you want, or specifically what's enough, right? Because like, I left a career that wasn't a good fit for me, to put it nicely. You know, it just wasn't fun. It was kind of burnt me out. But I have been careful this whole time to try not to make my business into something that's just another job. And I've seen people who have transitioned out of their career into online business, but they're so busy and overwhelmed that they're back in the same position, or maybe in an even worse position, because the job's going to be there, right? Like, the paychecks are going to keep coming in unless you fuck up or the company downsizes or something like that. Like, a paycheck's going to come. Not entirely true with online business. Like, you have to keep that consistency. Well, with consistency, you also need sustainability. Those two go hand in hand. So, like, yeah, it's great if you're ambitious and you want to scale up your business and make a ton of money and have a ton of impact. But if you're working 12, 16 hours a day, you're going to get burnt out. So is it worth it? Like, if you never have time to actually enjoy the money that you're making, what's the point? Right?
More things that I don't like seeing on Twitter are coming up, and we could do episodes on this. This one kind of falls in line with this episode, but people saying like, oh, if you are like you, most people are building themselves a second job or a second 9-to-5. And one, that's completely individual. Like, that's dependent on the individual. Like, technically, yeah, I could work 8 hours a day and create like a second job for myself, but it's stuff that I enjoy doing, and I would 100% do that over another 9-to-5, in my opinion, and just like what I want to do. I lost my train of thought. I had a good thing, but for personal brands, like personal brands and being able to sell your business is another thing that people say when they're trying to sell you on something, is like, oh, you aren't able to sell a personal brand. Who cares? I'm not looking to retire from my personal brand. I'm looking to build something that I can do sustainably for the rest of my life and like put information out there that impacts other people. And the thing with a personal brand is that if you do it correctly, you follow the social matrix that I talked about earlier, 80% growth, 10% authenticity, 10% authority, and you build a very well-rounded brand, then when it comes time, if you want to build something else, like if you want to build Modern Mastery, or we might build a focus brand down the road that we would be able to sell, it is so well in line with the things that we talk about that our audience that loves this stuff and already understands the power of it, they're going to be the first buyers of our, they're going to be the next customers of the company that we can eventually sell, right? We have so much leverage as a personal brand that like people just kind of push that under the rug. Like, if you want to go and start a SaaS and do the traditional startup route, that's awesome. Like, you can make a lot of money doing that, as with all things that we're talking about here. But with a personal brand, J.K. Molina is one very good prime example of this when he created Tweet Hunter. And I don't even know if I want to talk about this. I don't want to get involved in the drama, but I'm pretty sure it passed Hype Fury and MRR pretty quick, or at least got very close to it during the launch. And I think that's the power of personal branding and how J.K. has positioned himself. And please don't hold me to that. I don't know where they're at in terms of MRR, but Tweet Hunter hit a very high MRR very quickly. And I think it's because of the personal brand and his way of influencer marketing and having other personal brands promote it for him. Like, I was one of those brands and I actually enjoy Tweet Hunter. So there's a lot that goes into that. And it's like when me selling, so for those unaware, we're designing and building out the Power Planner 2.0. If you don't know what the Power Planner is, what the fuck have you been doing? Like, there's a free digital one. I believe it's in the show notes. But I built and launched that when I had maybe like 5 to 10K followers, like a physical version of the planner. And I did it okay. And I sold a good amount, sold a few hundred planners. And people loved it. But that was when I was at 5 to 10K followers. And this is going back to the whole follower argument. Now that people understand my message and they understand who I'm about and they've listened to the podcast and some of them are in the community, like, they're very indoctrinated with the message that I put across. And when it comes time to launch that Power Planner 2.0, it's going to sell really fucking well because all of the people that understand what I talk about and they vibe with me, like, there is a very large portion of my audience that wants that planner. They want that planner, and it's really going to help them kind of do everything that we've talked about right now in terms of figuring out the goals that you want to go after, breaking that down into priority tasks and focusing on those.
Yeah. But, yeah. Breaking stuff down is incredibly underrated, I feel like, because it's important to have big goals, long-term goals, like a certain revenue goal or a certain number of followers or something that you want out of life and business. It's so important to have those goals, but you can't just focus on that long-distance goal because sometimes it can be hard to figure out how to get from A to Z. But if you start breaking things down and take your 12-month goal and break it down into, say, a 3-month goal or a 1-month goal, it's going to make it so much easier for you to figure out how to get there. It's like, if you want to lose 100 pounds, don't focus on how to lose 100 pounds. Focus on how do I lose 5, right? It's going to be so much easier for you to learn how to do that and wrap your head around it and keep yourself disciplined so that you can actually achieve it. And then you get there, you go from A to B, and then you go from B to C, and then all of a sudden you've reached the big goal that you wanted, and then you can set a new goal.
Yeah. And the funny thing is that a lot of people may not even be registering this as a problem, but we've been on Twitter for so long that we've heard just like the stupidest takes of all time. And I don't know. Well, I guess we're here to guide people to the light because, man, I've just been like every time I've been off Twitter like a lot. But when I get on, it's like first thing I see, stupid polarizing take. Next thing I see, stupid polarizing take. And then I fucking close the app because I'm like, this is like idiotic. Like, I don't know. That's people's way of getting engagement. That's people's way of getting engagement because they don't want to fall into the platitude category. I'm happily platitude category because, one, I do it in my own words and from my own personal experiences, and people can tell me that. That's another funny thing is like the people that shit on platitudes, maybe I am a platitude account, maybe I'm not, but the people that shit on platitudes, they shit on platitudes, but then they're in my DMs asking like, oh, how do I, like, I'm having trouble with growth and this and that. And it's like, what?
Hey, bro, you want to be retweet buddies?
Yeah. And it's like, just, you have to have that pillar of your fucking audience. People ignore this so much. And it's like, they don't want to post basic content when basic content is 90% of the market. 90% of the fucking market. Like, it kind of pisses me off. Like, these huge Instagram brands that are doing really well, and you see what they post, and they follow my social matrix exactly. They have all three pillars and mostly growth content, because that's the thing. It's like you can either actually try to help people and post basic content for the problems that you were experiencing prior to when you hit like expert status or intermediate status, or you can just like ignore that and post tell like turn into account that posts content about how other accounts should post content. And it, I don't know, people want to build an audience, but they don't want to build an audience. They don't want to help the people that need their help the most because it's too basic for them. And I think that's an ego problem mainly.
Well, people, I've noticed over the past several months that there's been more and more like meta commentary or social commentary or whatever, like due to a certain thing happening in the world. Like that's been a popular topic for the past year and it's just beat to death and boring and worn out, but people are doing it anyway and it works. Whatever your definition of works is, it gets engagement. But then there's a lot of people who tweet about other people on Twitter and like subtweet people, and it's just positioning. That's all it is. Like it's engagement bait, but it's also like, oh, well, I'm better than these other people. I'm better than people because I post three lines in my tweet instead of one, and I post better content and I'm more intelligent. And look at me. Don't follow those other people because I'm better and I'm so much smarter. It's like the same bullshit as like, oh, well, I don't like Marvel movies and Star Wars and Squid Game and Taylor Swift and D&D. Like, I don't like any of those things because they're popular. I'm just so much better and so much smarter than everybody that likes that stuff. Like, shut the fuck up. Right? You know, like, it's just so, so cringe. You think you're base, but you're cringe.
Damn. Yeah, I don't know. My... It's funny because like I've just ignored all of it and like stuck to posting what I like to post, and it's worked out very well for me, and like people have respected me because of it. Like I JK, it's cool to see like people tell me they admire my focus because that's like what I'm all about and what I'm going to be writing a book about. So it's cool to see, like, it's cool to get that feedback. Like, hey, this guy is actually very focus oriented. And I don't know, man, like at the end of the day, do as the Hodge twins say, for those that know the Hodge twins, do whatever the fuck you want to do. That's really it. Like these people that are positioning themselves the way they are and posting the polarizing content, like they're going to see some form of success. That's great. But at the same time, like my soul can't handle that. Like I've been the guy that tries to post the polarizing content and I just feel bad about it because I know it's not true. And I don't know. I'm just a fan of like the main thing that set me apart from other people is one, ignoring like this whole trend, like hopping on whatever trend is there to hop on. And my main thing is like I make it 100% audience focused. Like I want to help my audience and tell them the things that have worked for me, instead of like, okay, these people are doing it wrong, and then that's it. There's no actual advice or something to follow. It's more so like, hey, these guys are doing it wrong. Don't listen to them, but I'm here. Listen to me.
I've had a thought recently. It's very, very, very easy in the guru game to become a hypocrite. Like, yes. I've found myself feeling the urge to criticize people or do things, like criticize people for doing stuff that I do occasionally, or do things that I criticize others for doing, because there's that strong call to be like morally superior and position yourself differently, like you're above everyone else. And it's subtle, like it's very easy to give into it and just post something Like, there's been a few times where I've drafted a tweet that's a spicy take about something, and then I realize, like, oh, shit, I do that too. Never mind. You know? And you have to be careful because, like, yeah, you can play the strategy and play the game, and you'll have some results, but is that really what you want? Do you want to get results that aren't really aligned, or get results from actions that aren't really aligned with yourself and your own values? There are some who don't care. Same in the offline business world. Like, there are a lot of people that are making a lot of money, but they're not doing things that are aligned with them. So it comes down to, is that what you want to build, or do you want to build something that is more aligned with you, yourself, and who you are?
Yep. Main thing, man. It's my message over and over again, because I found this to be like my way of life. Like, when I have to come back and just like feel good for a second, it's like, okay, yeah, I focus on my content creation. So I focus on my business. I make sure that everything is moving there and I'm doing what I enjoy and I'm creating content that I stand behind. Going to the gym. If you guys aren't in the gym yet, get in the fucking gym. Get in the fucking gym. Go on long walks and just like consume content that isn't shit. Like, consume content that you're interested in. Dude, that's some... This, we've talked about this on podcasts and we could go into this forever, but pursuing your interests is like the greatest driver of any success you'll ever have. Like, if you're ever lost, watch a YouTube video on something that interests you and you'd enjoy building a business out of, or just something you do. Like, if I go back and watch like Matt Ogus versus Chris Lovato, like that whole thing they had going, like in the OG fitness space, I'm going to get pumped the fuck up and I'm going to get realigned with my whole vision behind weightlifting. And like, I want to get big as fuck and it'll be a great time. And I'll go to the gym and I'll have a great gym session. And that may be that's kind of sort of extrinsic motivation, but it's also intrinsic because of everything that they're about that aligns with me. And it helps me realize again, like the why I'm in the gym, and that is very intrinsic. And it's the same with anything. I don't know. There we could go on and on about this stuff. But well, are there any...
That's why this podcast is a series, so...
Exactly. But is there anything related to, like, the follower count? Are there any objections you have, or, like, questions that we didn't answer, or points that we didn't talk on regarding the whole like follower count and making money? I want to touch on this really quick because I think this doesn't go said enough, even though it's very simple and should be intuitive, but it's what a lot of people don't understand or don't have their focus on at a lot of times. Is like how you actually build an audience, right? We can talk about audience building all day, but when it comes down to like the statistics and the facts, like the producer market compared to the consumer market is still extremely like small. That ratio is very, very small because people don't understand that like you can't just post content and expect to get a bunch of followers. That may be the case on something like YouTube if you're very good at gaming the system, but in general you have to do the things that are going to get eyeballs on your profile and actually have people follow you. Like if you don't have that down and you don't have people coming to your profile on Twitter or Instagram, you're not going to gain followers. So my way of doing that on Instagram is that I didn't know how to fucking do it, so I paid people to send people to my page. Like I either paid someone for story shout outs and just sent them my posts and then they repost it and then boom, they see that, they like my content, I get followers. And on Twitter, it's weird. It's like you have to do from 0 to 1,000 followers is much different from 1 to 10,000 followers, and then 10,000 plus is kind of like do whatever you want to do. But people think they get to that point and then they think they can stop doing the work of getting more eyeballs on your profile, when that's just not the case. And that's when you have a network that you can rely on for sharing your content and you sharing their content, et cetera, et cetera. But yes.
So a common problem that I see is, and I'd be one talking's hard. A common problem I see, and something that I'd be interested to hear your feedback about, is what advice would you have for someone who has a decent following, but no matter what they do, isn't really getting much engagement anymore? So if the whole engagement doesn't matter thing isn't actually 100% true, you know, somebody is like tried out the platitude way and then tried out the value way, but neither one really seems to be working and their account feels like basically dead. What advice would you have for them?
Network. Like I haven't experienced this yet because I've stayed on top of this stuff. Like I have things in place that allow my engagement and growth to continue. And the main thing is really, you have to have people that share your content, especially if your account is dead. Like, I don't know what led up to that point, but you have to reach out to people and you either have to trade shares. And everyone's doing this, by the way. Like, this is another argument that we could tear apart. But people talk about, like, all the engagement groups and the sharing strategies and all other stuff, about how like that can be weird. And it's like, okay, then don't grow your account. Like, don't play the game. You don't have to. And it's really not as serious as you think. It's necessary in many cases, but you have to have a network of 5 to 10 people that you can rely on and that you're good friends with and that will continuously share your content and all of this other stuff. Like I saw someone else say the other day, it's like, oh, X, why don't you get good engagement when you have tens of thousands of followers? And then it's immediately turned and it's like, because other people are trading retweets and sharing each other's content systematically. And I post my content and then it just, that's the engagement that I get. And Twitter engagement is somewhat low unless you're posting like hyper platitude-y stuff or it's very niche dependent. But that's the main thing, is you have to be sharing with people. You have to consistently be growing. You have to be putting out good content that actually gets followers coming in. you have to follow the social matrix where 80-10-10 rule. There's a lot that goes into it there, but reviving a dead account, especially on Instagram, from what I've heard from other people, is all about consistency. So consistently posting content, good content, and having it shared, like getting eyeballs on it and seeing if it's actually worthy to be engaged with. So I don't know. I think the thing that holds most people back from growth and getting decent engagement and actually building a brand that has some form of impact is that they get in their own head and they don't want to do the things that are necessary to grow. Like if you don't want to become a quote unquote slave to the platform of Twitter or Instagram, that's fine. You do you. But at the same time, you're not going to grow. At the beginning, when you're a freelancer, it's like, oh, I don't want to send cold emails because that seems weird. And I don't want to get in these people's emails. And, you know, it just seems kind of sketchy. And I don't really like it. It's like, okay, have fun not making any money until you find another route to monetization. I feel like people are taking that part of things too seriously and not taking their own brand seriously enough. Like if they... I don't know. What I do mainly is I don't listen to accounts that are smaller than me on Twitter, like at all. Like even if I know they're making a lot of money, I'm not listening to them. I'm going to go and look and see what the accounts that I want to be like do, the brands that I want to be like do. If I were to compare myself or Modern Mastery to Impact Theory with Tom Bilyeu, and I go and look at Tom Bilyeu, is he sitting there complaining about what other people are posting? is he's sitting there and like, no, either way, no, I look at what he's doing and he's sticking to the plan. He's sticking to the plan. He's putting out content that other people will enjoy. It will help change their lives. And that's how he's built this to this point. And that's why he gets a lot of engagement, is because he's actually trying to help people instead of like telling other producers what they should be doing. And now he probably does this. Like, my business model is very modeled after impact theory. Like, I know Tom Bilyeu talks about business and other actionable stuff inside of Impact Theory University. And it's the same with me. Like, I stick to what I want to talk about on the timeline while being mindful of whether or not it's actually going to help grow my account and continue that business growth. And then inside MMHQ, we post all of our actionable stuff and people are actually serious about it because they're paying to get access to this and they're putting it into effect. Like, they're actually doing the work. And in that case, I can post whatever I want and I don't have to worry about engagement because I'm getting paid for it. So there's a lot of moving variables. And I don't know if I answered the question. Did that answer the question? Oh, of the dead account. Yeah. Consistency and just getting more eyes on your profile. And here's the other thing is, if you don't have, you have to stop being a pussy and you have to pay when you need to pay, right? It's a part of the game. If people charge you for shout outs and like you, it's like paid ads. If you don't have the money to invest in your business, especially social media growth, then that's where things come into play. And it's going to be a much longer, much harder grind to get to a specific point. Like, if you don't have the money, that's fine. You can still do any of this stuff without the money. But you also need to detach psychologically from the money and use it to grow your business. Like, that's one huge thing that I've made recently is, like, if someone hits me up, cold DM, cold email, whatever, and I can actually see it having a tangible impact on either my growth, like follower growth or increase in sales or something else like that, I'm much more just like send the invoice than what I used to be. Like, if $500 to $1,500 every now and then to actually grow your business will do more for you than anything. And it teaches you quite a bit. It's like if you post content and then you have that content shared by a big account, that is direct feedback to whether or not that content is actually going to bring you the followers you want or the sales you want or anything of that nature. So I am a big proponent of investing in your business's growth specifically, and specifically as a one-man business, because I like to build the stuff myself. I like building my landing pages, my funnel, my emails, the content, all of that other stuff. I will rarely pay for people to do that for me. But when it, in terms of growth and spreading my message further and getting, like, building that digital real estate more, think of it like that, right? Like, you invest in crypto every X, Y, and Z because it's going to pay you more over time. It's the same thing with this business growth. It's like paying for shout outs, retweets, influencer marketing, paid ads. Sometimes I personally think that paying for like the growth of your audience is much more powerful and long-term thinking than doing like paid ads. And I'm not a paid ads guy, so take that with a grain of salt. But my main strategy when it comes time to like pay and invest for growth and increase in sales, it's usually retweets, social media promotions, having someone grow my account. That has been huge in my business's development.
Cool.
Cool. Yep. So did we miss anything there? We could probably end this soon, but there is also the like falling into the engagement trap So, like, wanting to only post things that get engagement, and I personally don't see a problem with that at all. Like, if you here's what I've noticed. The people that make a good amount of money on social media is like, yes, you can go full-blown, like, trying to land clients, writing authority threads, and having an offer that fits well with the platform and who's on the platform. But the thing that I've seen the most is you post growth content or platitudes under your own voice, and that's difficult. That's a skill that you refine over time, and just being able to put out a message in your own personal way that people enjoy. And then when it comes time to sell something, that's when you switch into like direct response marketing mode, and you're putting out a promotion or an advertisement of sorts. So Chris Johnson, for example, like, yes, he gives some actionable advice, he posts some platitudes, but then when it comes time to sell, he posts a promotion, and it's a good promotion, and it gets sales, and the product that he's selling is usually very, very well in line with his audience and the people that are on that platform, right? So the whole platitude thing, I think it's overblown. If you're not making sales, then you need to get better at marketing and sales, and like transitioning into how whatever content you're producing like is a pain point for that specific person, and then turning that pain point into like, here, I have a solution. Click on this, read it, and buy it. Lots of things to go over. Join MMHQ because we go over it all.
Yep. We also host biweekly calls where you can ask all the questions that you want. We had one this morning that was awesome. So,
and they're recorded. So if you want to learn about whatever we talked about today, you can go in there. But Joey, is there anything else we should touch on before we wrap this up?
Can't think of anything.
Cool. Cool, cool. Well, everyone tune in next week where we'll tear apart Squid Game and you can learn whether or not
we'll tear apart people trying to tear apart Squid Game.
Yeah. Squid Game was pretty sick. I encourage you guys to watch it. But beware, beware. It might program you to become mediocre and never do anything productive with your life. So just be careful.
We've been brainwashed, so we're going to be rebranding Modern Mastery to Modern Mediocrity.
Modern Mediocrity. That'd be pretty good. No, as long as I have my gains, my mental clarity, and a business that is growing, I am good.
That's a tweet.
Yeah, it is. I watched Squid Game, and I didn't turn into mediocre sack of shit.
Yeah. How one man turned into a loser by watching a Netflix show.
Yeah. All right. All right, Joey. This was a good episode. My people, if you enjoyed this, feel free to add us on Twitter. Shoot us questions in the DMs or on the timeline, or just give this a follow and a rating. But yeah. Joey and I are becoming much more nuanced in our perspectives on these things, and we don't want you guys falling down the wrong rabbit hole and thinking, there's just so many different ways to talk about this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I hope you guys enjoyed. Like, subscribe, follow, join MMHQ, link in bio, link in show notes.
next week, theoretically, we won't be sick, so this should be a bit more coherent.
Yeah. Either way, there's value to be taken from it. Yep. But yes, stay safe, stay healthy, and enjoy your Wednesday, because this goes out on Wednesdays. Wednesdays is Joey and I. Okay. Enjoy your day. Joey, I love you. We'll talk to you guys later. Peace.
Later, y'all. Bye.
My friends, thank you so much for listening to that episode of the Modern Mastery Podcast. I have a few favors to ask you. For a whopping $0, you can support this podcast by following, rating, and subscribing on whatever platform you are listening on. And for an additional $0.
You can share this podcast on your social media accounts, tag me in it at the Dan Co, and I will share you on the community page. This truly helps the Modern Mastery community and podcast grow and allows me to bring you top-tier guests to fuel your hunger for wisdom. It costs $0, but it does cost you your time, and we understand how valuable that can be. But considering you spent an hour or so listening to this podcast, a one-minute subscribe or follow button click and social media share isn't too much to ask. And if you truly enjoyed it, we would hope that you do this out of the kindness of your heart, and we truly appreciate it. And the second favor, which costs money, is joining Modern Mastery HQ, the only platform you need to master your mind, body, and spirit while building a 5 to 10K a month online business as a creator, coach, freelancer, or entrepreneur. You can go to join.modernmastery.co to join 350 plus members and gain instant access to information that has the potential of making you hundreds of thousands of dollars over your lifetime as a business owner. With that, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Modern Mastery Podcast, and I hope to see you in the next one. Peace.